Radio Labyrinth is produced by fine people like yourself. And also, fine people like Mike Spidler, Sean Hall, Wendy Muller, Andrew Hopkins, Jonathan Wilson, Keith Tate, Chad Shepard, Leslie Norman, John Sutherland, Garrett Kemble, Mike D., Eric Malmstrom, Matt Carter, and Beth Van Elswick.
You gotta help these two idiots win a trivia contest. Come on.
Oh, man, I gotta eat this moldy fruit because of your dumbasses?
Get in there. Get some of this. Come on. If it tastes good, drop it. It's not right. Keep it in, Gary. Swallow the seeds, too. All of it.
Pete Best was the fifth Beatle.
There we go.
And the Beatles used to be called the Quarrymen.
Is that true?
The Simpsons is the longest running scripted television show, but I already knew that.
Nice. Work it. Keep going.
Shake. You want to tell me how the hell we have a $2,600 power bill?
No, I don't.
Whoa!
But I want to tell you about the church.
Hey, where you at?
You need a Boost, Frylock. Because Boost Mobile has the boost you need.
Where you at, dog?
Who's this?
Oh, him! Oh, this is the Boost Mobile phone.
Hey, dog, where you at?
You know exactly where you at, Frylock, with the GPS-enabled feature.
GPS?
Or use Boost Wireless Web for national roaming.
Where you at, dog?
You can be anywhere in the country with Boost.
I really hate magicians. I don't know if you saw the segue there. Just make it up. But I hate magicians. They have that long, stringy hair, and they're always doing shit like, ooh, the quarter got bigger. Hey, magician, who gives a fuck? You want to do a trick? Make me feel safe in this world.
You know, being with you and gossiping on people I hate fills my heart with heavenly joy. I can't see you too good without my glasses, but I can feel you.
Okay, I think I bought myself a day with this.
Why did you even appear to her in the first place?
She snapped a hip. I thought it was over.
You know they don't have bones, right?
I know that now.
You can cover yourself up in pounds of fat, but an Adam's apple is an Adam's apple. Kirstie Alley is a dude.
The website's up and running, so if you want tickets, just log on.
Oh, that's great! So all the people at home are on the internet scooping up all the tickets while regular Joes like me don't get squat!
You got a blank card. Hold on, Bert. I'm reading from cue cards. Tonight's show. You will never see me go back alive again. It's not grammatically correct, but I think you have the idea.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Autumn Fisher, Jeff Leboff, and here's your host, Tim Andrews.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is episode 16, right?
16 of season 4.
Season 4. Tim Andrews, Jeff Leboff, Autumn Pritz Fisher.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
And we are joined this week. We're kicking off Adult Swim April month.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of April and May.
April and May.
With a lot of people from the cast of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, which returns to Adult Swim on May 3rd. And joining us, Casper Kelly.
Hello. Hello there. It's been a couple of years.
It has been. Last time you were here with Dave.
Yes.
Dave Willis, who will be joining us in a couple of weeks.
No, that's next week.
Okay, next week. I don't know what I'm putting this
half on. A couple of weeks.
Tell everybody what you do at Adult Swim and specifically Your Pretty Face.
I am the co-creator, co-writer, director of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell with Dave Willis.
Who does more work, you or Dave?
Is he going to listen to this?
I doubt it.
He's a machine. He's a machine. He does three shows and he works harder than
yeah.
He's got a motor.
Everyone in all of them. I don't know. I think he might have you know Hermione Granger's little time travel thing where she can do five classes at once.
Yeah.
I think he's got that.
Oh, I would love to have that.
Yes.
What was that thing called, Jeff?
The Time Twister or something like that.
It was called, yeah, that called necklace. The
Time Twister. It was called
it was something like that.
The time thing.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Harry. Let me ask J.K. Rowling real quick.
Right. I've known Jeff since 1979. First thing he said to me when I met him is, you're not gay, are you? I'm like, no, I'm nine. I'm nine. I don't even know what that means. And then we learned about homophones.
Yes. Homophones.
Homophones.
That's words. I always get confused. That's words that sound like the thing it is, like oops or no. Are there two words that sound the same, like...
That's a homonym.
Homonym.
Yeah.
I don't know what a homophone is, but we used to call each other on that or pretend to call each other. We didn't even know what that meant.
Is it like whoosh or something, like a word like that?
No, that's onomatopoeia.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Onomatopoetic.
You're on a computer, Jeff. Are you going to just get us out of our misery and look up what a homophone is?
Please look up homophone.
Oh, sorry.
And it's not phone, it's homophone.
Yeah, homophone.
It's the phone I call you.
I did not know that.
Homophone.
Each of two or more words having the same pronunciation but different meanings.
Okay.
All right,
we get it now.
What's a homonym?
A homonym, or I don't know. This isn't phonics. Or fourth grade English class. I obviously don't remember. Well,
I'm hooked on phonics. So.
Me too.
God, ugh, I know, I can't stop.
A homonym is the same thing. Each of two or more words having the same spelling or pronunciation, what? But different meanings.
I feel ripped off now.
Yeah. Wow.
All that for that.
Yep.
All that for that. All this for that.
So the new-
I'm doing a 12-step program for Hooked on Phonics.
This are you?
Part good of for my, you. My how long have top, you been clean?
Stand-up
yeah.
routine.
Yeah.
A couple of days.
Wow. But,
did you get your chip?
Yeah. Well, at the end of the not week, yet. I'll get my chip.
You get your chip.
If I can just stay away from those phonics. I don't even know what that is.
Phonics?
What were the Hooked on Phonics? I don't even remember what they were.
They taught sounds. Kids how to speak properly and say words properly, right?
Okay. Yeah, sounds.
That was one like, of those
sounds.
Things that you could order over the phone and have sent to somebody, and then they get billed like $250
for
the thing.
When you're a kid and you just watch things on TV and you see the commercial 100 times, it doesn't matter what you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents would go, no, you're not getting that. And you're always curious.
I used to order stuff for the kid across the street.
COD?
Yeah.
Genius.
And because I didn't like the kid. His parents wouldn't. I liked him, but his parents wouldn't allow him to play with us because they said Star Wars figures were evil. And so whatever. People have religion. That's fine. But he wasn't allowed to play with Star Wars figures because they were demonic. And I was like, I was offended by that. And
I wonder if Dana Snyder has a Star Wars figure since he does the voice of that Hutt.
Well, you better find out.
Yeah, I'm going to find out.
So I ordered him Playboy and Penthouse. And then I used to call the PTL club.
Yep.
And make pledges for him because I skipped a lot of school and that was like the only thing on other than Palabra Jot.
I hope his parents didn't like spank him for this.
I think they knew it was a prank because he was eight.
Okay.
Because he's not watching the PTL club. Why did we get on that?
Phonics.
Do you know what the schwa is?
Yes.
No.
The schwa is that upside down E. That's what that's part of phonics. You learn how to pronounce the schwa.
All right.
That's like the sound.
Yeah. But it's upside down E.
But it's also like a ch, like TCH.
It is.
So you're not necessarily looking at each letter and sounding out each letter. It's talking about like groups of letters and their sounds.
We ought to do a show, just a podcast all about.
Autumn, you're a regular Noam Chomsky.
She is.
Oh, I am a linguist.
She is a linguist.
Oh, you are a linguist. Okay.
She's a cunning linguist.
Honka honka.
Are you going to edit that out as well?
No, I'm leaving that so everybody can hear that thud. She's a linguist. She used to teach English as a second language to people.
Oh, wow.
But we should do a podcast where we just, are really horrible at explaining grammar and how to write sentences. And
I could do a whole show about, like, that guy in that movie that was in that show with that lady.
Yeah,
Because I'm a mom, and that's just how it works when you're a mom. You just turn into that mom.
Well, it also, that's what happens when you spend 30 years smoking dope every day, like Jeff. Casper, Your Pretty Face returns on May 3rd. When was the last season on?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. I'm going to say over a year ago.
Okay.
Because we're on the bi-yearly plan, or maybe that's twice a year, isn't it?
Biannually?
Mm-hmm. Biannually, yes. So it's been a while. And we're coming roaring back with 12 episodes. They're airing two a night at midnight after Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm. Are these new episodes of Rick and Morty as well? No.
No, let's not go that far. I'm giving us the Glengarry seats. Glengarry leads the Glengarry leads.
Oh.
Why not?
They should. Yes. Yeah, we're excited. I was at a convention in Chicago, C2E2.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to watch my stuff with people, like a crowd, because usually the sound isn't good and also mm-hmm. I just don't like it. So usually I leave the room. But we played an episode at C2E2 and they were laughing so hard I went back in. Because like, nice. Okay, this is, and then I even said, let's play another one.
Yeah.
So it played very well. So yeah.
That's great. It's gotta be a good feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how C2E2 was. I saw you were there promoting it.
It was fantastic, yeah. And they did a really amazing booth of that they had the cubicles. Our show, by the way, for people who don't know the show, it's a show that takes place in hell. It's a workplace comedy in hell where demons work in cubicles when they're not torturing people. And it's just about the grind of having a day job, or in their case, a 24-hour a day job. But the C2E2 that we had a booth there that had the cubicles, and on one side you could get made up like a demon. They gave you a shirt and the horns and made you up.
Awesome.
And then on the other side, a part of our show, all the urinals have people's faces at the bottom before they get urinated on. So they had a photo opportunity where they had those urinals and people could come stick their heads through and get a photo. And kids loved that. I saw so many little kids running up to that. They wanted to get their...
kids love toilet stuff.
Kids love toilet stuff.
I'm almost 50 and I love toilet stuff. It's still funny to me. Henry Zebrowski is the main character, right?
Yes, Henry Zebrowski.
Mm-hmm.
Plays Gary.
Gary.
He plays Gary.
And he's not supposed to be there? Is that the premise?
Well, that's debatable. We probably, if we get a season 5, we'll probably do a prequel episode of how everyone got there.
Oh, awesome.
But yeah, he's in hell. He died, and now he's working as a demon, and he's just not very good at his job, I would say. And he's a little too good-natured to do it well.
Right.
Yeah, and we have Dana Snyder. Matt Servito of The Sopranos, Banshee,
Agent
Billions,
Harry.
Plays Satan. We have a bunch of guest stars this time.
Yeah, this season we have a lot
Craig
of big names.
We have Craig Rowan, who plays Claude, right. And he is a writer. He's primarily a writer, and he's written for a lot of great shows like Search Party, and he's writing on Bless This Mess right now, which is a new show with Lake Bell coming out.
oh, that's the show where they moved to Nebraska. Tim
yes.
And her and Dax Shepard.
Dax Shepard, that's correct.
All right.
And Lake Bell is on Children's Hospital, so it's a small world. It all comes back.
You have Dan Trianflo.
Oh, yeah, Dan Trianflo, fantastic actor here in Atlanta.
He's a very good actor. Very very into Nick Cassavetes, right?
Yes.
Yes. I got that right. I know it's Cassavetes.
John Cassavetes. He has a son named Nick.
Yep.
Yeah. Which he's into as well. That's why I didn't correct you immediately.
Thank you.
Because he's also into Nick Cassavetes.
Okay, good.
And Hunter Womack and William Tokarski and... Johnny Harville.
I almost said Joe Pepitone again.
Eddie Pepitone. Eddie Pepitone, who's the premier tortured soul.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun.
How long have you been working with Adult Swim?
Oh, my God. 20 years.
Wow.
20 years.
And how'd you start out there?
I started at Cartoon Network doing promos. watch the Powerpuff Girls Fridays at 2, you know, whatever. and then from there, I started doing specials and skits. And then... started pitching shows to Adult Swim.
Yeah.
How long has Adult Swim been going on?
I think they just hit 25 years, or Space Ghost did.
Ghost, I saw.
I want to feel like it started in like 97, 98.
Wow.
Or Adult Swim is a block.
But Space Ghost started on, what was that, on Friday night, starting in the mid-90s, right?
Yeah. So I think it might have been 25 years now.
Wow. Hey, this is Ira Malkin. He used to be on this show.
Hello, Ira.
One of the more...
Ira?
Hello.
He just came in to say hello.
Yeah. Ira works at WSB now, so he's in the next studio over.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like when kind of Bob Hope will walk in on Johnny Carson's show. Hey, I was in the studio next door. And
Jared's out
there, too.
Who?
Jared.
Jared Yamamoto.
Yeah. Vogel?
Yeah. Jared Vogel's here. Isn't that the Subway guy? Yeah.
Yes. Fogel?
Fogel, yeah. He's in jail, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
That poor guy. I mean,
no, what do you mean that poor girl?
He's a creep that deserves to be in prison.
Bye, Ira.
See you,
bye,
Ira.
Bye, Ira.
Thank you for coming by.
Yes.
Fucking Ira.
Fucking Ira.
So, there's been a big shakeup as far as ownership of Cartoon Network, right? And Turner and all that. Has that affected you guys? What's going on over there?
It has not affected us yet. And who knows what will happen. Adult Swim does well, so I don't imagine that they'll go, let's cancel Adult Swim. I don't see that happening.
No. That's your bread and butter.
That's my, yes, their bread and butter, my bread and butter.
Both.
Yes.
I would think, that, don't you think yes. that more like adults watch Cartoon Network than kids?
I don't know. I couldn't speak to the daytime cart, but I know Adult Swim does quite well, for sure. And Rick and Morty, come on.
You were telling us, I jumping all over the place.
Please here. Jump.
But you were doing promos and you were working. What was the first show you actually wrote for or?
The first thing I did was a pilot, kid's pilot for about a cereal mascot called Major Flake. But the first show you would know would be Harvey Birdman.
Oh, wow.
I wrote on that show.
So you wrote, and who was on that show? Who was the star of that show? It was
Gary Cole. And that's Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, Stephen Colbert.
And I remember...
did you have anything to do with the new one, the Attorney General?
No, alas. I would love to be, but yeah. In fact, I haven't seen it yet, which I need to. I heard it was great. I remember, I would listen in on the voice records, and I remember Stephen Colbert reading the script I wrote and going, oh, this is very funny.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, I felt good.
Yeah, no doubt.
I felt good.
And carry that with you forever.
Yes.
And your first very own show was?
Stroker and Hoop, which was a detective show, had John Glazer and Timothy Speed Levage, who there's a documentary about him. He was a tour guide who would like on a double decker bus in New York City, and he would fold in observations about his own life. His monologues were just so hilariously inventive.
Mm-hmm.
They were way beyond. They were more experimental art pieces. Than just a bland tour. So they did a documentary about him, and we fell in love with him there. He's on the last episode of the new season of High Maintenance.
High Maintenance, yeah. I was going to say, I thought that was that guy from High Maintenance.
Yes.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
And we had John Glazer on our podcast here a while back.
He's a very funny man.
He is hilarious.
Autumn, do you watch a lot of Adult Swim, or did you at one point?
Yeah, I watched a lot. I was excited when... King of the Hill came on there, and then I started watching stuff after that. Like, we watched a lot of Adventure Time, and I'm really into Steven Universe.
I remember back a long time ago you liked Powerpuff Girls, and it was too weird for me.
I love Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff Girls, I love that show too. Yeah.
But I'm not as much, I honestly don't watch as much Adult Swim as I do regular Cartoon Network, especially with the kids, but even without the kids. I mean, we really enjoy, like I said, Steven Universe and Gumball, that Gumball's World or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's really strange. Oh, and Teen Titans Go.
Right.
Those are great shows.
Strangeness has really infected the kids' side, too. I think it sort of started at Adult Swim, but now it's kind of infected everything.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like, I watched advertising a lot of Samurai Jack.
Oh, yeah. Samurai Jack.
I love that. And I loved Dexter's Laboratory.
So, yep. That's Gindy as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I loved Gindy Tartakovsky.
There's some shows
Craig McCracken
that aren't on anymore. Yeah. Assy McGee, I liked that show.
Yes.
Who made that? Were they out of Boston?
Yes. Well, the one of the creators was Matt Harrigan, who runs the streaming at in the Atlanta office now. He's great. And Carl Adams, Clambake Animation, animated that.
I love
that. That's a crazy show.
Yeah,
I have a bank. Assy McGee Bank.
Nice.
You do?
And guess where the coin slot is? I think I got it. There was an extra one on the desk one day, and I think I gave it to my mom.
For Christmas,
I did.
Nice. Thank you very much, darling.
And of course, you're known for Too Many Cooks.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Loved Too Many Cooks. I knew a ton of people in that one.
Oh, is that right? Are you in the
a lot of people from
local
dads.
Acting scene? Oh, yeah. Yes, that's true.
Yeah. That's how I sort of was exposed to it.
Oh, yeah, the Dad's Garage connection.
Yeah, like Karen Cassidy.
She's so great. She's been on our show, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She is just this little bright ball of sunshine.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's wonderful.
Now, that got ripped off for an ad.
Yeah, we wanted to
talk to you. Twice, sort of.
Okay. One's Progressive, we know for sure. What's the other one?
KFC kind of did one.
Oh, they did.
You see that one?
Wait, no. What happened?
Well, Too Many Cooks is so good that people have stolen it for commercials.
Well, I know, but what did they do? What was their...
Go ahead, John.
I put a link in the show notes. Oh, you can watch it.
Okay. Progressive, we'll put it online, too.
Yeah, Progressive ad literally rips off Too Many Cooks.
Yeah.
But I'm flattered if...
Yeah, you know. That's how... And you said you were super pissed about it when I talked to you the first time. But
I did?
I thought you were probably kidding.
Yeah, no, yeah. It doesn't bother me. Yeah. My thing is referential as hell, for God's sake, so they can refer
imitation
to me.
Is
yeah.
the sincerest form of flattery, they say.
Yes.
So I guess it would be flattering to be ripped off, but it seems like they should have come to you and said, hey, you want to direct this commercial for Progressive? It's kind of a ripoff of Too Many Cooks, and you could at least have the option to turn them down.
Yeah that's true. That's true.
They don't really like doing that kind of thing.
I just recently got a... offered to do a music video, but they wanted it to be like Too Many Cooks. And I love the track, but I didn't feel like that would be a smart move for me to just do the same. I don't want to be the guy that does that you know, all the time. So
yeah, that'll be the only thing you do. And then,
no, we loved your new-ish.
Well, yeah, I was going to bring this up. It's called Final Deployment 4.
Yes, sir.
In the video that we took a look at. Did you watch any of that today, Autumn? I know you've been busy.
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
It's
Autumn, how dare you?
To me, it's a parody of Twitch game streamers, right?
Yes. Wait, yes, I did watch that.
Yes.
Yes, it was awesome.
I had no idea what to expect because the cover image is of My Little Pony, and I was like, oh, I wonder what this is going to do. And I watched the whole thing, just sitting there outside watching the whole thing, and it was so fucking funny, pardon my French.
Thank you very much. That was a lot of work.
Yeah, you can tell.
It looked like a lot of work.
Real video game animation.
It was like after Too Many Cooks,
I'm
like, I'm not going to do something this complicated. Yeah. And then sure enough, we did one that was complicated.
Did you borrow that video game animation, or did you guys create it?
A little of that first video game seemed a little bit like Xavier Renegade Angel.
I think animation. They used they built it in the Unreal Engine,
right?
Mm-hmm. Which I don't know if maybe they did Xavier that way. I love that show, by the way. But we used two different animation companies to get the different game looks. It was fun.
It was done really, really well.
Yeah. Thank you.
And then it
funny, but also like, wow, this isn't real. I know it's not, but it looks so real.
Yeah.
And just the humor of it is it just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper into these game walkthroughs.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. Where they go into a game and then the character in the game's like, you got to do this. And then you get a computer and then you can do your own walkthrough.
And then they're being controlled by other people.
And the whole thing was being controlled by this one lady. And then, it's great.
It dawned on me a couple years ago, because I'm not a gamer. And well, at least I'm not since I got married, but,
unlike the character in the game that's just walking into the wall the whole time whenever I play a video game.
Me too.
But when Twitch came along and people on YouTube, I couldn't believe, I was one of those people who originally said, I can't believe people would sit and watch people play video games. But I started doing it, and I understand why. Because there's a show going on.
Yes.
There's music being played. There's interactive stuff going on. And you really capture all that. And it's so funny.
And you capture everything, too.
Yeah.
You have the chat going on the side.
The shout-outs.
I saw a reference to your book pop up in the
chat. Oh, yeah. My God. You go deep.
So
There's one gag I wanted to put in there that I didn't have time for, but you guys aren't gamers. You're not gamers? I'm a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of games, but especially Fallout, this game Fallout, which is really great, where if you take on too much inventory, like you've picked up too many guns, your weight is too much, so you move very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to throw something away. And I can spend hours on that because it's like, no, I love this, but I can't throw this away. And the game is supposed to be running around shooting things, but I'm there messing with my inventory. No, but I love these three gems of Gondor. I can't...
you might need them for something later.
The main character in... in Final Deployment, well, the video game character, his girlfriend dumps him after the war. And I'm not going to spoil it. We'll post a video on our Facebook and Twitter. But he has to sit and wait for his mom to pick him up. And yeah. I love that you capture. It's like Red Dead Redemption, where you can't escape. You have to sit there and try not to get angry.
Yeah, he said he had to wait 2 hours in real time for his mom to come pick him up.
Well, yeah, but then she's talking to him, and you have to keep pressing X because he's getting angry, and you have to calm him down.
But don't press X too many times, or you'll put two stickers onto the vitamins that you're trying to sell.
I suffer from PSD. PTSD.
I love that you love this. But also these open world games are getting so large. Like, the new Red Dead is almost like real-time life.
I missed that game. That's the one that came out recently in the last couple years that I wish I could have played.
But that's a game that you could take 30 minutes going from one town to another, right, just like you would if you're driving to Alpharetta or something.
Yeah.
But here's the thing else I heard. This is slightly off color, but in terms of the detail, you must have read this. This blew my mind. The detail of Red Dead Redemption is that your horse, if your horse goes to a colder climate, his testicles will ascend slightly. Oh, no.
Really? That's detail.
That's detail.
Wow. That's just too many people working on this project.
Yeah, I got to work late. I got to animate these. There's like 10 more horses.
I can't
that
get
just
these
came
testicles
here.
Right.
These testicles don't look right.
They're not
I don't
rendering.
Know if they ascend at the same time.
He's like Googling a bunch of horses.
He's
photos.
Going out to a farm.
Yeah. He's just like in a mirror, just splashing water on himself. How does this look?
And then for some reason, you can go into the middle of a town and beat up a suffragette and feed her to an alligator. Did you watch any of these?
Yes.
I watched all these videos of people, the guys just being an asshole. There's one guy on YouTube who just acts like a dick in games, and I spent an afternoon watching all of his videos. And then there's prank calls that people make now using the voices from there, like, do you have the Amulet of Kings? Nah, this is a pawn shop. Do you have the Amulet of Kings?
I have a couple of friends that have a slight obsessive compulsive side to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the old days with a video game, you know, you'll get some special achievements or some badges, like if you do this or that. But that game has like hours and hours of extra achievements that they have to get every one. So it'll be like, I've got to get 3 raccoon pelts. But if I shoot it with the wrong bullet, it destroys the pelt.
So then you got
to
go find
another
one.
So I have to get a special gun. Ugh. And I have to just wait in the woods for this raccoon.
Wow.
It's like hardcore, man.
This is what gaming is all about.
Yes, this is life.
Hey, we're going to take a break here for a minute because we have to call Dana Schneider, and we're going to talk to him. And then we're going to talk to Joe Pepitone. So
hey, Pepitone.
Jesus Christ.
You better take a break and beat yourself over that.
I'm going to do that. It's Eddie Pepitone. Eddie Pepitone. Eddie Pepitone.
One of the funniest men alive.
That's right. And then we'll come back and do some staff picks and tell you about what's coming on next week. So we'll be right back.
Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by Atlanta Pizza in Euro, 1565 Georgia 138 in beautiful Conyers, Georgia. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is a longtime local favorite, serving the best pizzas, gyros, Italian beef sandwiches, hot subs, spaghetti, lasagna, and Greek salads in a relaxed, casual setting since 1983. Check them out on Twitter at ATL Pizza Euro. That's ATL Pizza GYRO.
Hey guys, we're Chuck and Brad. We're two comedians who do the Chuck and Brad podcast, a pop culture podcast based out of Rhode Island.
We just wanted to let you know that we're going on a short comedy tour called Chuck and Brad Reimagine the Avengers.
It's our own comedic retelling of the original Avengers movie, and we're touring the shows the same weekend that Avengers Endgame comes out. So come get a refresher and a new spin on the original Avengers movie before you go see Endgame.
Thursday, April 25th, we'll be in Hartford, Connecticut at the CT Comedy Theater with BJ Quagan, Andrew Morgan, and Stosh Makita.
Saturday, April 27th, we'll be in New York City at the Pit Loft with Impractical Jokers tour opener Jiggy, Impractical Jokers writer Casey Jost, and UCB veteran Lisa Kleinman.
Sunday, April 28th, we'll be at Laugh Boston with John Tilson, Logan O'Brien, Tyler Swain, and Dan Hall. All event info and tickets at chuckandbradpodcast.com.
Every night we'll have the comics open up the show and we'll close with our live retelling of the Avengers.
And for a tiny bit of background, we've done the podcast for 10 years. We've had on great guests like Jeff Tremaine, the director of the Jackass movies, the bands Bowling for Soup, Less Than Jake, Real Big Fish, Big D and the Kids Table, and many, many more.
And if you're a big podcast listener, you might know me from Tell 'Em Steve Dave. I work on film projects for the podcast Tell 'Em Steve Dave, which is made up of Walton Bryant from AMC's Comic Book Men and Quinn from True TV's Impractical Jokers. I consistently do the film work for the Tell 'Em Steve Dave Patreon. So come on out, support this very weird live comedy show, and hopefully more and more podcasts will start doing their own live alternative shows.
Once again, that's Chuck and Brad Reimagine the Avengers, New York City, Hartford, and Boston. See you at the end of the month. ChuckandBradPodcast.com.
Hi, Dana. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. Thanks for coming on.
Well, it's my pleasure.
I want to thank Jeff Leboff working so hard to get everybody from your
This is the first week of our Adult Swim April,
yes,
which is leading up to the May 3rd premiere of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
Yes.
On Adult Swim.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that Dana Snyder is the king of Adult Swim because you have Your Pretty Face, Squidbillies, Aqua Teen, and The Venture Brothers.
But then Super Jail. Never seen again.
Oh, I'm only mentioning the ones I watch.
Super Jail is awesome.
You watch a lot of cartoons. You listed like six cartoons, five cartoons.
I know. I'm almost 50. It's okay.
All right. Well, that's why it's called Adult Swim, not Kids Swim.
That's right. So my wife will walk in the living room. Why are you watching a cartoon about food items that just sit around? I'm like, because it's great.
Yeah. Why aren't you watching?
Why are you watching the Kardashians?
All right.
Yeah. Listen, my wife has watched one episode of Squidbillies and maybe two episodes of Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
And I'm going to guess zero of Your Pretty Face is going to help.
No,
gonna...
she's actually watched the most of Pretty Face. She's watched at least four episodes.
I knew I loved her.
She likes the live action stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, she's watched that the most. Like, okay, that's cartoons.
Mm.
Like, yeah. Well, bread and butter. Well, you live in a house.
In Los Angeles.
She's watching nothing but cartoons.
That's how you have this house.
How many Thundermans has she watched?
She's seen a couple Thundermans.
Okay.
I don't think as many as she's watched Pretty Face.
Okay.
We all went to the set and visited while they were filming this upcoming season last year, and we were all bummed that you were not there that day.
Well, yeah, I wasn't there on any of the good days. Like, meaning when any of the celebrities were there. I wasn't there. I was so excited that John Amos from, Coming to America, the dad in Coming to America and from Good Time, I was so excited that he is going to be there because he is hands down one of my favorite actors of all time.
And
he's great in Coming to America, but also he's great in Roots. He can be as serious or as ridiculous as the job allows.
And Beastmaster.
Not there. Not in that episode.
Beastmaster.
Yep.
Yeah. Joey Fatone. Not in that one. not for that one.
Hey, Danny,
I didn't even get what's the chef? What's his name, Chris?
Oh, Kevin Gillespie? Or Rocco DiSpirito?
I didn't know he was there either. I get fucked
with. He had Phil Hendry there.
Yeah, Phil Hendry.
Were you there for
George
the Phil Hendry episode? No,
not
you weren't.
For Phil, not there for Phil Hendry. Not there for Rocco DiSpirito. Not there for Joey Fatone. I'm sensing a pattern.
And the funny thing is you're in some of these scenes digitally.
Yeah.
But you didn't get to meet them. We like to get a lot of chefs.
I saw Rocco DiSpirito drag his luggage out of his dressing room as I walked in, but he looked at me like I was renting out the room to everyone. Like I was like a weird landlord. I was there to like, I'm the janitor or something. Like, well, you're not on television. You're here to clean my dressing room up now that I'm leaving.
Dana, I met you, must be 8 or 9 years ago now. You were in town for Dragon Con, and you came on the Regular Guys show, and we had the pickle popsicles. Do you remember the pickle popsicles?
Oh, sure. And I always think I remember that because there was some weird pickle guy I met years before that at another, at Comic-Con, the San Diego.
The big one.
He was all about pickles, and every once in a while I see his Twitter or whatever, he's still... Yeah, because it was on the stick, right? Just a pickle on a stick?
Yep. And then for the next 6 years, we had the Master Shake liner, the pickle sickle. See, I can't do the voice. I apologize.
That's better than most.
And you and I have done a scene together in Squidbillies. You were, of course, you played Granny on Squidbillies.
Oh, yeah.
And
you better believe it, boy.
why did you go down there in the first place? I do Larry Munson every now and then.
Tim does the voice of God on Squidbillies when they need him.
Well, also a GPS and whatever else.
Oh, yeah, see? All the hits.
Are you coming this year to Dragon Con?
No, I'm not. No one brings me. I think I used to go. I'm not sure why I went. Someone was like, oh, you should get him. And then they're like, yeah, forget it. Well, Jerry's going, I know. He goes every year now, but he also lives in Atlanta.
Right.
It's easy for him.
Once you've gone, it's pretty easy to come back.
Yeah.
That's how they make it on the, as far as guests go.
You could sit with George Lowe.
I got those.
Does he go? Does George Lowe go?
Yeah, he's there George every year. There every single year. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to go just to catch up with him.
I'm trying to think the last time I, oh, sorry, Chris.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just trying to think the last time I went. It was certainly at least 3 years ago, if not 4 years ago.
I think I went that year, and I remember being in the Tiki Bar, and then losing you, and then finding you hours later, and I saying, oh, where have you been? And you were like, I was at a table with Terry Gilliam hanging out. And I'm like, oh, I wish I had found that table and joined
you.
You know, it was a nightmare because there was somehow by the end of it, the idiot who had orchestrated the whole thing, you know, invited 60 people who all stopped by in segments but never got their own check. the unfortunate fools who were left last were stuck with some, you know, who had the 27 Mai Tais? Okay. None of them are here. Okay, fantastic. I have 18 scorpion bowls. Nobody claiming one of these? Okay, fantastic.
And you were probably gearing to say, I would make a great Sancho Panza.
Exactly. Terry, I know where you're going with this. You could have just called. You didn't have to come to Dragon Con. You could have just called me. Very accessible. I'll do it. Who are you? Have another scorpion bowl, I guess. Paperwork for you.
Well, since we're talking about your pretty face, do you have any memories from this? I know it's been a while since the production, but anything you can tell us about this upcoming season?
Are you asking me?
Yeah. I guess Casper will cut you off if you're wrong. Tell us any major spoilers.
I can tell you this is my favorite thing to do. Breathing, anything. I've walked around. I'm on Balboa Island right now. Beautiful place. Rather be there doing that. Getting painted red, I hate it. However, every day there's something that makes me laugh so hard. At least one thing every day. At least one thing. Most of it is some type of torture that Henry is involved in real life. Like, there was one where he had to lay in a boat, and they poured some substance on him that was supposed to be honey. Now it's like 12 o'clock at night or something like that. And they pour it on, and then they have to do it again. So it's mingling with all his body hair, which is disgusting. And then he has to wash it all off, get repainted, and they have to pour it on again. But then the special effects makeup guy goes, oh, and you know what? I decided as a treat we'd actually warm it up this time. And he's going, I just don't understand how you should just wouldn't heat it up in the first place. It's so easy. But every day there's some great episodes.
And some greater episodes.
All those, say that again?
And some greater episodes. I don't know. I'm just...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's... The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse is the one with John Amos and George Wendt from Cheers and... what's his name? Casper. The guy from Spinal Tap who was the manager in Spinal Tap.
Oh, that guy.
And that guy who played Blue, right? From Old School?
No, that isn't Blue from Old School. I think he's...
I wish you would have told me that about 6 months ago because I've been telling people that for like...
Have you been emailing him? No, the guy who plays Death was an extra we found.
Paul Schaefer.
Who is in, he's in Get Out. You know, the auction? He's an extra there, but I think we gave him his first speaking role.
This season, there's a lot of coming out of the darkness of an extra and stepping into the limelight. Like Johnny, who's one of the extras, he's got a big episode, right?
Yes. We have half highly trained actors like Dana and half extras that we like that we decide to give them large speaking roles.
Right. And half the extras, 50% of those 100%. My friend used to work for the circus. It's a side note, but it illustrates what I feel about some of these nice gentlemen who I hope never listen to this. Because my friend used to work for the circus for Ringling Brothers, and when the train would get to Mexico, there were suddenly about four guys who were not on the train anymore, who worked for the circus. And the first time he was there, he was the sound guy. He said, where's Ringo? Where's Chachi? They're like, oh yeah, he can't cross any borders. he's worked for us for about 20 years, insists on being paid in cash. Like, yeah, he's definitely got a history that I do not want to know about. And of course, Henry, who is the funniest person, certainly one of the funniest people I've ever met, he just concocts imaginary, insane histories for some of these people. But then you get to know real things about them, and some of them are even crazier than what the insane imaginary one.
I remember when we shot before this show existed, we shot a short film that's on the DVD, but it has Fred Armisen in it, and we shot it in L.A., and we had a bunch of extras, and I think they were making like something crazy like $20 a day, but it was at a hotel conference room where the parking was probably $6 an hour. Like, they had no hope of breaking even.
They lost on that.
But it's the people that, who are like, I'm retired, or I want to do, and that's a special type of person.
Old food after this. That one had some real crazies, because actually my friend who worked for the circus is the guy who is decapitated in that short.
Oh, Studler, Brian Studler, yes. Okay, yeah. It's all coming together now. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
No, we can't let you leave without mentioning Paradise PD also. We had Waco and Roger on the podcast.
We're halfway through season two of that.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to
it. I can't remember when the new episodes are coming out, but
we loved season one.
Those guys,
they're very funny.
Roger and Waco go back to doing a TV show, The Damn Show, in Athens.
Oh, sure.
And that show was so funny. Well,
I noticed there's a Roger Black in the credits of the, I don't know if it's the pilot for Your Pretty Face.
Can I tell you a story about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have Roger Black on my phone. Last year, we went out of New Orleans for a Squidbillies, for the Outlaw Country Cruise. We did a thing for Squidbillies on this cruise. So we were on this week-long cruise, and Roger Black is one of the guys who works at Adult Swim, and he works on Your Pretty Face. No relation to Roger Black, Yucko the Clown.
Oh, okay.
No relation to that. The car is supposed to pick us up, like the town car, to take us to the thing. I know, such problems, right? But he's like, I got it all set up. And the car was coming the wrong day. It was like the day after. We had already gotten there. I said, so I start texting Roger, Adult Swim Roger, going like, hey, this car is coming here, but they're not supposed to be here, and I think they're just confused. And he's like, okay, well, what should I do? I said, I don't know what to do. I mean, if you have their number, I guess just call them. This goes on like 30 minutes of this. I find out 7 months later, I was texting Roger Black, Yucko the Clown, but Roger Black, Yucko the Clown, is too nice to tell me. He had no idea why I was talking. But, in real life, he is like the quietest, most shy. You're lucky to get a word out of him, because he's just so demure and quiet, which is insane when you see his Yucko stuff, because it's the exact opposite.
Oh, he's insane as Yucko. Yeah.
Grotesque.
Grotesque. Thanks, Autumn. Well, when he used to do radio hits back in the early 2000s, he never washed that clown outfit, and it just kept getting filthier and filthier.
I don't think it's still been washed.
Nah, probably not.
I'm not sure, but I don't think it's... I can't imagine it's washed at this point. I think if it went in a washing machine, it would just be rejected by the washing machine. It'd spit it back out.
Like on that episode of The Young Ones, when they tried to wash their clothes and it spit it out.
Yeah.
I'm a dork.
Yeah, hey, I love that show.
What was your first big voiceover gig? Like, what was the first thing you ever got and you're like, this is going to be my career?
Well, that's a great question. Not Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
No.
I did that. Like, the guys were like, hey, look, here's a drawing. Like, wow, that looks like I drew it. Like, well, it'll be better, the real one. I'm like, okay, and what's it on? They couldn't tell me what it was on. I think the first thing I got real, like, feeling I was in a different league was when I moved to California and I got a job without, I did not audition, so I was even more nervous about it because I had no idea what they wanted me to do. And it was for a Cartoon Network show called Chowder. It was like a kid show, you know, mm-hmm. and I played this guy named Gazpacho on it.
I remember.
And I'm sitting in the room, and like sitting across from me was Mad Dog Murdoch from the A-Team, Dwight Schultz.
All right.
And then over here is Tara Strong, you know, who right. does everything. And John DiMaggio, who's Bender on Futurama and all that. I was like, wow, this is like... And also, it was the first time I recorded a cartoon where we were all together. Because Aqua Teen, we never did it together. Because, we, you know, I always lived where they weren't, so it would pretty much always be going in and doing something by myself. But that one was like a whole different, I was like, ooh. And we're at the, you know, offices of Cartoon Network, this big, humongous, beautiful building, as opposed to where I would record Aqua Teen, which was wherever our producer, Vishal Roney, could find the cheapest studio humanly possible. Like, hey, I'm a guy with a tape deck. Come on in. Yeah, no, I talked to Vishal. We got it all set up.
Is that something you always wanted to do since you were a kid?
I think, yes.
Yeah.
I used to do the announcements in junior high with my friend. We would write them and we'd play music in the background and, you know. And I made tapes when I was little. I would do stupid, idiotic voices,
mm-hmm.
which I still do. I don't make tapes anymore. Not digitally. Right. Kids don't have to blah, blah, blah.
I know you do a lot of stuff like in the Star Wars universe.
I play Jabba the Hutt's cousin.
Yeah, you're Jabba the Hutt's cousin.
The Ball of the Hutt.
What does that voice sound like?
Well, it sounds just like this. But to my own fairness, it was, I've done, you know, Dave Willis always gives me the business because he says, oh, so you're just doing your Master Shake voice. And I'm like, well, it's actually my voice, but also half the things I do now, I'll go in and do something, you know, nah, maybe a little bit more like this, maybe less like that, more like this. And really, sometimes they'll say, no, I want you to just do your Master Shake voice. And then other times they'll go a roundabout way 4 miles out of the way to not say that, but that's exactly what they're saying. Well, and we're like, you know, how about I do it just like this? Like, that's what I want.
You see that wife and I are watching TV and the lottery commercial comes on and she says, isn't that the guy that's on that show that you did a voice for? I said, no, it doesn't sound anything like Master Shake.
Totally different.
That lottery
game. Yeah, that guy, the guys who do that, they're in Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, well, you know Sean Coleman, who does all the music for Squidbillies and sound. He did those as well, the sound for that.
Oh, cool.
Which our friend, the same guy who decided to heat up the thing, that he was driving down the street one day while we were shooting Pretty Face and heard me screaming at a gas station. He's like, I heard you screaming at the top of your lungs about stuff. And then it turned out they were shooting the live commercial, so that was on the playback so that the puppeteers could move the...
Move the pig.
Yeah. By the way, if you think the lottery, the scratchers, you know, you win a lot on the scratchers, that pig cost like $250,000. Made 4 spots. So I'm not saying anything against the lottery. I guess I did, but I don't mean it.
No. We
play it. You can't win if you don't play.
That's right. And if you lose, you're donating to kids so they can get an education. Autumn, do you have any questions?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, fine.
Before we wrap up, I just wanted to mention, because I just watched the Lego Movie Part 2. Big Lego movies where they have like big time actors like Chris Pratt and Will Ferrell do voices, does that piss off people that work in the voiceover community?
You know what? I know some guys that it does. To me, it doesn't. Because I get it. They want, who's gonna go do an interview for the Lego movie if it's like, Johnny Schmendrick?
Yeah.
But Will Ferrell, oh, yes, I'd love to have him come and talk about the Lego movie.
Yeah, it just seems like those people get enough work on their own without having to be a voice, too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, you know, it makes them well-rounded.
Yeah.
I think. Although some guys aren't good at it, but, like, what? But the weird one to me is, like, all right, you like those Madagascar ones, like, of all the voices, all right, we need a crazy hippo. Smith. Master voice artist Jada Pinkett Smith. Like, what? Mommy, I want to go see the Jada Pinkett Smith movie. Yes, of course, we all do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, even Ray Romano.
Yeah.
What about Ray Romano?
Well, isn't he in one of those movies?
The Ice Age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
by the way, Autumn?
Yeah, he's one of the
five Ice Age movies.
Five?
Yes.
Five Ice Age movies.
Yeah.
The Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie was made for $750,000, made $5 million, only made one movie.
It was a great movie.
That's right.
Jeff and I saw it in the theater with four other people.
I did see it in the theater.
Quick question. Autumn, how many times did you see the Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie in the theater?
Oh, man, I can't even count how many. Yeah. I saved my tickets. My ticket stubs. I keep them in a scrapbook.
I still have mine, So make fun of me all you want, Autumn.
I have it on DVD.
So
too.
Do I. Signed. Yeah. Yep. Ooh, but you don't have that, Autumn.
I'm jealous.
I don't think I don't think I ever saw it. I saw it in the movie theater, but I don't think I ever got a ticket. Like, I should have got a ticket and saved it.
You snuck it.
Yeah.
That's
pretty much.
The only movie I've ever seen totally alone was Dirty Work by Norm Macdonald, opening weekend in Los Angeles.
Whoa.
Oh, that seems wrong.
Yes, and it's such a...
That seems... Because that's a good movie.
I know. Well, people are...
Was it weird? Was it like at 3 in the morning or something?
No, it was after 3 in the afternoon. Yeah. I was out there for some...
On like 9/11 or...
I got it all to myself.
I'll catch a flick.
Yeah.
It'll blow over by the time I get out.
Dana Schneider, thank you. Go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, no. You're correct.
What?
No. I should stop.
No. Oh, yeah, definitely. No, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
and we're all looking forward to your Pretty Faces Going to Hell premiering May 3rd on Adult Swim.
And I will be looking forward to the next season of The Venture Brothers 6 years from now.
And Squidbillies.
Coming back soon. About 6.5 years.
Yeah, Squidbillies is later this year.
Squidbillies?
Nope.
They're coming out.
And more They're Paradise PD along. Will be coming soon.
Yeah, maybe at the end of this year, I think.
Awesome.
They'll start them.
Well,
whatever their Netflix model is.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on, and we're all...
Well, hopefully we'll be picked up for another season, and hopefully you'll come back to the set again, and hopefully I'll be there this time.
Yeah, that'd be great.
No celebrities are present.
Aaron, we'd love to have you on the podcast if you ever come back to Atlanta for some more shooting, so just keep us in mind.
I'm happy to do it.
Thank you, Dana.
Thanks, Dana.
Absolutely. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Yep.
Bye, Autumn.
Bye.
Oh, good. You got a good master shake there at the end. All right. Thank you very much to Dana Schneider. And we'll be back in a few minutes with Joe Pepitone.
Eddie Pepitone.
Yeah, no, Joe Pepitone is not the same guy.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm with you now.
All right. Thank you. Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by Monday Night Brewing. You guys should check out Monday Night Brewing. Brewed right here in Atlanta. And if you're not in Atlanta, brewed in Atlanta. Served all over Georgia, Tennessee, and Alabama. Check out both Monday Night Tap Rooms in the ATL. 670 Traybird Avenue Northwest in West Midtown. And at the Garage, 93.3 Lee Street in Southwest Atlanta. Sample their variety of award-winning craft beers and don't miss $4 Pint Wednesdays. Every Wednesday from 4 to 9 p.m. at The Garage or Throwback Thursdays. Why not do both? It's a long week. Enjoy it. $12 gets you a pint glass and tickets for 6 tastings. That's Thursday nights from 4 to 9 p.m. in West Midtown. And keep that party going. Sign up for the Monday Night Brewing newsletter at mondaynightbrewing.com/radio. On social media, Twitter at Monday Night, Facebook.com Monday Night, Instagram.com/Monday Night.
This is my show.
Yeah, Autumn has her own separate podcast also.
Yeah, it's called One Topic. So the topic for the one that was just released on Monday was hygiene. And so one of the things we brought up was, how often do you wash your jeans?
Gosh, everybody, I wash my jeans all the time, and that's just why I have to buy new ones, because they just keep wearing out.
Yeah. So the, okay, so the real way jeans, like denim, 100% denim is supposed to work, is that you get them and you don't wash them for as long as you can stand it, like months and months and months, because then you get the natural creases and then they get super soft and they conform to your body. So they're like really stiff and uncomfortable for a long time.
Well, when
like,
you first get them, you're supposed to put them on in the bathtub.
You are?
All wet. Yeah.
What? Really? I haven't heard that.
Yeah. I just go to Sears or wherever, and I guess they're not open anymore. These are like JCPenney's.
Talking about like fancy jeans. Like the,
no, like
the $300
jeans. Now, everything that you get like now Lucky is made jeans? With plastic.
Right.
What's the douchebag jeans everybody wore for a while?
Oh, that with the horseshoe on it? True Religion?
Yeah. Ugh. Or they had the fleur-de-lis on the back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like dudes with...
Bert
with
from
like
the Bird Show wore them. I'm sorry, you look like you, Casper, you might have worn those, and I'm not trying to offend you.
No. I'm remembering, I think Sears used to have a brand of jeans called Tough Skins.
Oh, yeah, we wore those.
Tough Skins.
I did. They were cheap and indestructible.
Yes.
And if they got a patch, you got the iron-on patch that fell off in a day.
Yes.
There's a really good 99% Invisible about denim and clothing.
Yeah.
You should check out. It's really, really
good. 99% Invisible. Hey, mm-hmm. Autumn, what is the name of your podcast again with Greg Russ from the Von Hessler Doctrine?
It's called One Topic.
One Topic.
Yep.
And they still have yet to plug us on their podcast.
That's nice.
We'll be sure and plug them on.
We did talk about it.
Oh, did you? I didn't hear
that. Yes.
Well, okay. Autumn's not the only one on the Von Hessler Doctrine who's doing a podcast. Or, you know, Tim does one. That's me. We also have this week, you can find this, and it's very important, very big news. Jared Yamamoto, our producer.
Who's he doing a podcast with?
Well, hang on.
Okay.
It's him and a bunch of other people. You have Randy O'Cray, who works at WSB in the digital media department. And then you have Christina Marie, who is Jared's life partner.
That's what I was going to ask. His sexy voiced girlfriend, is she going to be on the podcast? Because I'll listen to that.
All right.
She has a very sexy voice.
She does?
She does have a very sexy voice.
She has a cute voice. She's a very
she has a
cute
sexy
young
voice.
Lady. Yeah, see, I'm not going there. I work
it's
with
just
the guy.
A voice.
It's called the Power so Pod. Sexy. All right. It's called Power Pod. And it drops this week. You can scoop it up, and this is his copy. You can scoop it up on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the WSB Radio app, because it is under the aegis's. Is it aegis or aegis's?
I think one S.
Aegi.
Ask the aegi, linguist.
Yes.
It's on the aegi.
Of gift of the
ask
aegi.
The linguist.
So there,
yeah, the gift of the aegi.
So there won't be any curse words or anything, because, you know, you can't swear, but I don't know. It'll be
I'm
cool,
definitely going to check it out. What's
yeah,
it called?
Me too. It's called The Power Pod.
A power pod.
Power pod. And, you know, it's millennials talking about the issues of the day. And, you know, since you have, you know, every Gen Xer has a podcast, so I think every millennial should have a podcast. So let's get, oh, I see him on the phone. Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by the wonderful people at Resource Environmental Group, LLC. REG LLC is an environmental consulting firm in the greater Atlanta area. If you are looking for one, then you know what that means. Check them out. For more information, contact Jason Chappell at reglc.att.net. Hey, welcome to Radio Labyrinth. We have Eddie Pepitone, who for the entire show I have called Joe Pepitone, and now I'm telling you I'm sorry.
You know, you're not alone in that. You're not alone in that.
I'm the only one in the room who knew that was, though. So so that happens to you? People call you Joe Pepitone?
It used to happen a lot when Joe Pepitone was more relevant.
He's relevant to me. I have a baseball card of him.
Now it's your time to shine.
Yes. Yeah, because you grew up in New York, right? Brooklyn?
That's right. And Joe Pepitone was born in Brooklyn as well and grew up in Brooklyn. So we were close. I don't know how we were not related. But so when I was growing up, you know, he was the first baseman for the Yankees, you know. And so I constantly got asked, are you related? Are you related? I would say yes to impress people. Uh-huh. And, you know, and then kids who I would tell them, yeah, he's my uncle, would start asking me for autographs. balls, and I would promise them and never come through until I got surrounded one day by these people. You know, like it was like a comeuppance because they were like, you're not related, are you? And they had surrounded me. And I just did what I do on the show, Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. I just started crying.
Are you a Yankees fan or a Mets fan?
Mm-hmm.
Both?
I'm a huge Yankee fan.
Yeah, me too. Although I can't tell you who. I was telling these guys earlier that I still collect baseball cards. I just bought a Thurman Munson card yesterday on eBay. Yeah, 74 tops.
How much was that? Can you say?
It was $2 because it was miscut, but the corners are all tight and sharp, but I don't care.
That's the thing with baseball cards. It's got tight corners, man. I'm telling you, you'll love this card.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Nice and sharp.
Huh?
Tight corners are important in everything, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, she's got some tight corners.
Yeah.
I have a Munson. My Munson card is just showing the remains of the plane.
They put that in cards. You know, you could get game crashed planes, and they put it in there.
No, they didn't.
But they do that now.
Is that too soon?
No, it was 1980. I think we're good. Wasn't it 80? Okay. Yeah, it was 80, 1980. I remember crying about it, and then crying when Billy Martin died on New Year's Eve. That was also sad.
I just laugh at that stuff.
He was drunk.
I think we cry about celebrities and our heroes, but then when someone close to us dies, we're like, thank God they're gone.
They really were a burden on the family.
Yeah.
Yeah, I cried more when Thurman Munson died than when my mother passed away.
You know what I mean?
Well,
same here.
Eddie Pepitone is one of the stars on Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, which is coming back to Adult Swim on May 3rd. And we really appreciate it. This is Adult Swim month. Actually, it's just Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell month on Radio Labyrinth.
Yeah, and we visited the set, and we actually got to meet you one day while you're doing the production of this upcoming season. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you don't remember us, because I'm sure there's a parade of people in and out of there, but... We got to come to the set, and we got to meet you and Henry and Craig and Matt. Mm-hmm. And Shane Martin showed us around his little makeup studio.
Oh, yeah. How was I being tortured that day? Because my official title is Tortured Soul. Did you see me getting tortured that day?
You were not being tortured. The scene that we saw was a scene where Satan was... Basically talking to everybody and in his office. And you were there, but I don't remember. I don't think you were in the red makeup.
Yeah, you were just you were just normal.
Eddie, there's a scene in coming up where you're often being whipped and you're on that whipping which I'm sure must not be comfortable. I don't know the degree slant, if it's comfortable or not.
I just talked to my dermatologist, and he says I should try to not get whipped as much.
We'll see. Season 5, we got notes that they wanted more whipping, but I'm sure we'll work it out. But one of the scenes you're wearing, I think it's the one Satan Matt Servito directed. You're wearing your very comfortable shoes in the scene, but I think that kind of makes sense because you've gotten friends with the demons. I think you have some sway with them, and you're like, come on, I've been up here 48 hours. Can I wear my shoes? Yeah. Some nice, comfortable.
Yeah, I try to, you know, it is fun. It is so fun filming with everybody. Matt Servito is just hilarious. Henry is beyond hilarious. Craig, so funny. And even though I am tortured all the time, I do love being part of that show, you know?
And we love you on the show.
I just picture Matt Servito as Agent Harris, and I'm such a Sopranos. I'm a total Sopranos dork.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when we met him and he's in the full makeup, I'm going, oh, God, what is it like being on The Sopranos?
He's a great actor. I mean, he's the epitome of such a good actor, because like he could play, you know, an FBI agent, and then he could play the devil, you know, and in a comedy, in a comedy, and it's just great to watch. He's really,
I just saw he popped up on Billions recently.
Did he?
Yeah, he's the governor elect of New York in a couple episodes of Billions. Okay. Yeah.
Eddie, I want to ask, although it's not my show, I'm going to ask you anyway. I'm just curious. You know, you are probably my favorite comedian, and I love your podcast, but I am curious about the acting side. Mm-hmm. How did you start doing that? And I mean, you're great on our show. Was there a ramp up, or were you just an, I notice a lot of comedians are just a natural at it. Are you among them, I guess? Or would it take some work?
Well, I think some, like, look at Richard Pryor. And, you know, my favorite example of a comedian being an actor is Jackie Gleason, who I thought could do such great serious roles. If you ever saw, I think it was The Hustler, the original Hustler.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. And he also was in a movie with Tom Hanks. I forget what it was, but he was a dying dad.
Nothing in common.
That was his last movie, right?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
And The Toy. Yeah. Don't forget that. He was great in The Toy.
Was he? I didn't see that one. But
that's where he buys Richard Pryor for his son.
Yeah, but so, you know, it's funny because my stand-up tends to be kind of theatrical because I took years of acting lessons in New York, and I always wanted to be a serious actor. But when I would do my scenes in front of the class, you know, they would be laughing. People would be laughing. I'd be doing like Death of a Salesman, and they would be, you know, cracking up. So I knew comedy was in my future, but I love the serious stuff too, you know, and especially I would like more of a shot to do some serious shit, you know,
right.
But they pigeonhole you out here in Hollywood. Like, you know, like, oh no, he's the funny guy. You know what I mean? But we'll see.
And we love.
So anyway, in answer to your question, I did take a lot of acting, courses, and, you know, I was into Sam Shepard. I was really into David Mamet when I was, you know, a young acting student in New York. I was into Arthur Miller. I love, you know, they say there's such a fine line between tragedy and comedy. You know, I would get drawn to like heavy duty tragedies, you know, like Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman and all that stuff, you know.
I think Robin Williams was a really good dramatic actor. Like, yeah, The World According to Garp, I thought he was great in that.
That's the first time you saw him, right? As a dramatic, or was it Moscow on the Hudson?
Yeah, one of those.
Both of those around the same time.
He was good in what was the movie with Matt Damon? Huh?
Oh, Good Will Hunting?
Yep.
Yeah.
Good Will Hunting, he was really good as the shrink. They, you know, Robin Williams is such a tender side.
Yes.
Him, you know?
Yes.
Really, really sweet side.
And you have that side, but you don't show it as much in your stand-up.
I can't, you know, because the people out there are animals. They're animals, and if I show them my vulnerability, they'll pounce on me. I can hear everybody getting quiet.
No, I was going to ask you, Eddie, have you ever seen the video when Robin Williams was a writer on Richard Pryor's NBC show?
And he was?
Yes, and when it got, he was on that, he was a writer on that show, the lady that was the bailiff on Night Court, I forget her name. She was a comedian also, I forget, but Marcia.
Marcia Warfield?
Marcia Warfield, super funny lady.
Woman.
And there's a video on YouTube of them doing a roast after, and they're just tearing into Robin Williams. You can find it on there. Just type Richard Pryor.
I gotta check that out.
It's an almost an hour roast, and but you can see all these guys. That's one of the things I love YouTube, because you go back and you watch all these people when they were young, and if you watch those old
Dean
Martin,
you can get lost on YouTube for many years. Right?
Yeah, watching Jerry Lewis host the Tonight Show, and you know, if you like Jerry Lewis, you're happy. If you hate him, because there's no in between. You either love him or you don't like him.
Yeah, where do you stand on the Jerry Lewis?
I love Jerry Lewis.
Ah, do you?
Yeah, I love his old movies. Yeah. I think all those old movies he made, because he created the sets and he did everything himself, which I didn't know as a kid. But you know, you don't have an Adam Sandler or these guys that constantly make movies with their friends if you don't have Jerry Lewis, because I mean, they just follow that same formula.
That's what I don't forgive him for.
He also invented video assist.
Yes,
where you could watch on a monitor what you just shot on film.
And that's for everybody, not just comedy.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that right?
That's absolutely right.
I just always thought he was an idiot. Now, someday I want to see The Day the Clown Cried. There's only three people that have seen that.
Eddie, you know Harry Shearer. Do you know Harry Shearer? Can you get us a copy of that?
You know who I know? I don't know Harry Shearer, but I do know Patton Oswalt, who stages readings of that script, which I hear is hilarious. I have not seen it, but, you know, it's something about the Holocaust, right? A clown.
He's a clown.
An abomination, yeah. That movie.
He leads the kids. He's a clown who keeps them laughing while they're going into the showers. So it's pretty awful.
Oh, my God.
You know, hey, Jerry, we got this script where you play a clown in Auschwitz. Yeah.
Here's another little factoid about Jerry Lewis before we get back to Eddie is he wanted to play Holden Caulfield. He wanted to get the rights to Catcher in the Rye and play Holden Caulfield.
He was too old.
Wow.
Are you know, serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
He was too old. But there again, I think, is that proclivity of comedians to go toward tragedy. Because I remember reading Catcher in the Rye, and Holden was such kind of a sad figure in a way, you know? And also Jerry Lewis was really good in maybe the best I've seen him and liked him was in the Martin Scorsese
King
movie.
Of Comedy.
Yes.
Yeah. King of Comedy.
Oh, my God.
He's amazing.
He played the Johnny Carson who gets kidnapped by Sandra Bernhard.
Mm-hmm. All
right.
And I thought he was great in that as like kind of a brooding guy. I liked it.
The patience he shows when De Niro's holding the cue cards and some of them are upside down and he's talking to his boss and he's just
I have a gun in my head, and then he's like, wait,
he's rolling his finger around.
That's one of my top three movies. That's one of my three favorite movies. I love that movie. I have fantasies like that constantly that poor Rupert Pupkin would have about Jerry, I can't do the show, stop asking me.
I did it.
Well, who doesn't have a cutout audience in their basement?
So you mentioned Patton Oswalt, and you know a quick perusal of Wikipedia says that Matt Oswalt is your best friend.
That's hilarious. I wonder if Matt put that in there.
Probably.
I love Matt, but I have better friends than Matt. You know, we did that series Pudding, which I think was highly underrated. It was highly politically incorrect. But Chris, you've seen it, right?
Yes, it is brilliant. And I wonder if you guys can put a link. Is it online now? Because they can put a link to it on their website.
It's still online. I think it's still online. I don't think it has been banned yet.
And I deeply love your podcast, Pep Talks, with Eddie Pepitone.
The Bitter Buddha.
With the Bitter Buddha. That's right, with the Bitter Buddha. You chose not to have your name in the title.
What a great name.
And you, Chris,
as a person, help give me comfort in these dark times because...
Yeah, plug your podcast a little. Tell everybody who's coming up on the next episode.
Who's coming up on what?
On your podcast.
Well, I'm going to have on Henry Zebrowski to talk about what we've been talking about. You know, your pretty face coming back. And then I just have a collection of comedians out here. I have a great, you know, L.A. is great for, you know, just a pool of comedians. I'm going to be doing the podcast live in Austin, Texas. As part of the Moon Tower Comedy Festival, April 24th and 27th, I'm going to be in Moon Tower, and one of those nights I'm doing pep talks, and I'm going to have on comedian Joe DeRosa.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, he's great.
Do you listen
to
any? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just going to say Joe is a regular on You Better Call Saul. He plays a vet who gets Bob Odenkirk's drugs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. God, that show. And then they just started shooting it, so I got to wait another year for it to come out.
Yeah, it's going to be 2020 before it comes back.
Oh, no way.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, huh? That sucks. I hate when shows that I'm into, you know, take a while.
Like Your Pretty Face is going to hell.
Been on in a long time. Exactly.
Do you listen to any podcasts regularly, like weekly?
Oh, yeah, a ton. Sorry. You're asking Eddie. Yes. Eddie, answer that.
Yes.
I do not. You know, I don't know what that is, but you know what I've gotten hooked on, though, is, and I don't listen to them. Someone will say, oh, you got to listen to Dirty John, and I listen to Dirty John.
That was a good one.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, about a guy who is a fucking psychopath.
And that woman.
Yeah. And that woman who, after you listen to all the episodes, you're like, what is up with her? But anyway, I also got into This American, I don't know, no, it wasn't This American Life. It was an NPR thing, and it was did you ever listen to this? It was called Shit Town?
Yes, yeah. S-Town. Yeah. That was great.
That's right.
S-Town, sorry.
No, you can say shit.
Yeah, you can say shit.
You can say shit.
Okay. Oh, good. And anyway, that was an amazing one. So I listen to them when people give me a recommendation, and I'll listen, but I'm more of a music guy.
Well, yeah. Listen to music like a normal person instead of people talking.
Yeah.
Like every Monday, I got to listen to Gilbert Gottfried.
Well, I hear that's a great one, though. Gilbert talks about Hollywood history, right?
Yeah, if you're into old Hollywood and Marx Brothers and stuff, Gilbert's is very good to listen to.
He had Bill Macy from Maude on. That was fascinating. Just hear Bill Macy talk, and he sounds just like he did back then.
Is he still alive, Bill Macy?
Yep. Yes, he is.
He had Marvin Kaplan.
Yeah.
One of the voices of Top Cat. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And he had great.
John Astin on a couple of weeks ago, and that guy's in his 90s.
Oh, man. You know what's amazing about podcasts is that they're so niche. Like, there is a podcast about, for instance, Columbo, and they dissect every Columbo episode.
Right.
So, I mean, you could listen to a podcast about anything.
I'm going to do a Dallas podcast. Yeah,
Nobody liked my idea of the Barney Miller podcast.
What are you talking about?
I love Barney Miller.
I did too.
I did too. And I remember as a kid going, wait a minute, that guy who's a cop was a killer three episodes ago.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
They did that a lot.
Because they would reuse those actors, their ensemble.
That's Fred Sanford's neighbor.
But what a great collection of character actors you see on Barney Miller. Yeah. So great.
Yes.
I loved the guy who played Luger. His name escapes me now.
He was in The Manchurian Candidate. I have in my hand 57 names of communists.
Yeah, but you know what, Barney Miller, he was like, Bond, I'm going to leave all my money to you.
Yeah.
And Barney would be like, you don't have to do that. He goes, who am I going to leave it to, Bond? He was inappropriately close to Barney Miller.
Yep.
It was hilarious.
And then that little guy that was always the
Levitt. Yep. Ron Carey. Ron Carey. He was another great comedy actor. Ron Carey.
So many of those guys that are just, I mean, because we all grew up relatively
close to each
other.
I'm still working on trying to get Max Gale on the podcast.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
Lawrence.
Wojo Howitz,
right? Yeah.
Wojo.
He's still acting, still in stuff. I've been in talks with him to come on the podcast someday.
James Gregory is that guy.
Yeah, James Gregory was the inspector.
James Gregory. Yep. Love James Gregory. He was a big theater actor, too. And Ron Glass is great.
Yep.
As, I forget his character's name.
Harris.
But
Harris.
Yeah.
Hey, Bonnie. Steve Landisberg, who the first stand-up comedian I ever saw live was Steve Landisberg.
Yeah, we were kids. We came to our town and performed at the college in our town, and we went and watched.
Where was that?
It's called Mansfield University in Pennsylvania.
Ah, yeah, Landisberg was a funny dude.
Yes, he was.
He was so cool to us because we got there. We went there at 3:00. Right after school,
yeah, we
stayed there for 6 hours or whatever. And then he let us come backstage and hang out. And Robert Klein was the following year, and he did the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I loved Robert Klein, too.
And this is another thing that's good about podcasts, because we're talking to Eddie Pepitone, and we're just talking about shit that we love and grew up with. So that's...
Yeah, I guess we should ask Eddie if he has any memories from this upcoming season of Your Pretty Faces Going to Hell. I know you... Did you go back into the red makeup at all? I saw a behind the scenes picture, but it might have been before when you were in the red makeup.
No, I did not go back to the red makeup.
I know you had that never again.
Right. And I really am. I'm one of these like delicate, doily type of actors.
According to William, William Tokarski, he says the red makeup is a lot easier to get off now than it used to be.
Yes, that's what I heard. Yeah. But I just like the idea of not having red makeup on.
Go ahead, Eddie. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, I'm into old Hollywood, and I've been reading about how long, Karloff had it take to get into Frankenstein makeup and the Wolfman and all that stuff, and it was insane. And even these days, you know, the superhero movies, some of the makeup stuff is just like insane how long they're in makeup, right? So the red makeup is nothing when you think of that stuff.
And that Motley Crue movie that Netflix put out, the guy who played Tommy Lee, Machine Gun Kelly, the rapper or whatever, they had to paint over all of his tattoos.
Oh, yeah, because he's
and then draw the tattoos that Tommy Lee has on top of that. So that took all day, too.
I heard that Jim Carrey, when he did Cat in the Hat, that took so long. It took like 10, that he had to get a special therapist.
No, not Cat in the Hat. The Grinch.
The Grinch. Yes. Yeah. But it was worth it because that movie is a classic.
He said he was hitting his leg so hard because he wanted to alleviate the pain from other places. And he said like a Navy SEAL told him you can't feel pain in two places at once.
My God. When it comes down, you see, I could never do that. I don't care how much money they were paying me. I could not get to the point where I have to put pain in one area of my body so I can't feel another area.
Autumn, if I have pain in my heart, if I'm like depressed, could I punch my leg? Would that work?
I guess it's a different kind of pain. Yeah.
One quick thing I want to do say about Eddie, you were rather comfortable with various stages of undress. Would you agree with that? And are you comfortable with yourself in general? Because it seems like you are. Because there's an episode where you got to go try on various, you got to go to a convention like a Comic-Con, but it's of torture devices, and you have to drop trow to try on some clamps. And you're pretty comfortable with that, or take a shirt off.
I remember that. You know what it is? I think when you do stand-up comedy, first of all, you are psychically naked. Right. And that is the worst kind of vulnerability there is. So to do, you know, physical nakedness is like, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Like,
you're bearing your soul up there on stage.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So showing your ass is nothing compared to that.
Right, exactly. You know, so I'm pretty okay with that. You know.
And before we let you go, we got to tell you we loved you seeing you on Stand Against Evil.
Oh yeah,
and we were sad that show didn't get picked up for another season.
Yeah, me too. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do Dana Gould's Dana's doing his podcast live out here in LA tomorrow night, and I'm doing that. And that should be fun. Tom Kenny, who's the voice of SpongeBob, has a band called Tom Kenny and the High Keys. Mm-hmm. And that band will be there. But thanks for the Stand of Evil thing where I played like kind of a King Kong type character. Outdoors, we filmed outdoors in Atlanta in July or June, and luckily they had like a stunt man who was so cool, and he did all my fight scenes because I wouldn't have made it. David Koechner played the Moth or Mothra, whatever.
Yep.
And they had a fight, and Koechner, what a trooper. He must have lost 20 pounds in that fight.
Yeah, that show was great. We were sad that it didn't get picked up. We had Janet Varney on the podcast to promote it when it was coming back.
And Dana puts an awful lot of work into his podcast, the production, the music, all the bits inside of it. It's a good podcast, and it's not one. I mean, you can wait for it and savor it when it comes out.
Right. Yeah, Dana, man, is great. He's great.
Not like ours, where we just jam it out there and don't do anything.
Same with me.
But he wants to do it that way, but he just can't get himself to do it. He's talked about how he like regrets his style, but he can't help himself.
Regrets his style is going to be on my tombstone.
Eddie Pepitone, comedian, actor, and we just found out a good raconteur. I like to use that word whenever I can. Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell returns on May 3rd on Adult Swim, and we'd love to have you on any time again. You have anything to promote? I mean, we love talking to you, so
and
thank
if you come back to Atlanta to do some more Your Pretty Face when the show gets picked up for another season. Let us know. Maybe we can
bother you. We'll come over and annoy the hell out of you.
I would love to. All right, guys. Thank you. See you, Chris.
Love you, Eddie.
See you. Love you. Bye.
What a nice guy, man.
Yeah, so sweet.
And thank you. Oh, now, why am I calling you Casper when everybody...
That's his real name, Casper.
Casper is my professional name.
Yeah. Casper is your... Okay, Chris Casper. Can I call you Chris Casper?
Sure.
You could be a DJ. Chris Casper with you.
Before we let you go...
And by the way, Chris... I'm sorry, go ahead.
You could say what you were going to say, but I wanted to... Because I just finished your book recently.
Oh, you serious?
Yeah, and I wanted to see if... Do you watch Black Mirror?
Yes.
Did you see the San Junipero
episode? No, I haven't seen that yet.
Okay.
I'm behind. Because that was even seconds... I'm behind, but I've seen Bandersnatch.
Right.
But that was the one that won an Emmy, San Junipero.
Yeah. And Mackenzie Davis from what the heck was the name of that show? Halt and Catch Fire.
Oh, that was in that show.
But it's very similar to your story about the brain boxing.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Basically, in your book, you call it verting.
Uh-huh.
Verting, like virtual.
Yeah.
Where they take your brain out and put it into a box, and then basically you're living in an alternate reality.
Yes.
That's what San Junipero Black Mirror episode is about.
Oh.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That made me think of Krang.
What's Krang?
From Ninja Turtles.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No? Okay. I don't know. I never watched
that. But that story just reminded me of that Black Mirror episode, and I wanted to see if you had seen that before. Yeah, I know. Yours would have been before that.
And why?
They stole it.
Charlie Brooker.
In fact, Autumn,
His book is called More Stories About Spaceships and Cancer, if you want to pick it up.
And we're going to be purchased.
You can buy that on Amazon, I'm sure.
Cool. Yes, Amazon. Yes, our Barnes & Nobles.
You can at Barnes & Noble. Books. Barnes & Noble's still open. Walden Books, they're not around anymore, are they? I remember that. What was I going to say?
You're going to say something to me.
I was. What was I going to say?
That I'm great.
Well,
delightful, I think, was the word.
Delightful, great.
Ew.
Not even remotely annoying.
Oh, no.
Do you think Eddie was... I think he was being serious about all the acting. He's a great actor, but I couldn't tell if that was a bit about...
That he went to school? Yeah, I read that on Wikipedia today.
He did?
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
because he's great.
Classically trained actor.
I didn't know that was what he wanted to do.
Yep.
Wow.
And he's God, that was a great interview. He's so nice.
Oh,
he's
so sweet.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. His stand-up kill. I mean, God, if he comes here to the
next
Laughing
time he
Skull,
comes here,
we'll
I'm going.
Go. We'll all
Definitely.
Go.
All right.
I mean, I saw him at the end of a long string of comics, and he just came out and slaughtered. I mean, it was something to see.
And he's so easy to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
So
he really felt like an uncle or something.
But there's an anger he doesn't have in his real persona. But it's there, but it comes out in the stand-up hard.
That's the bitter Buddha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I have tons of anger in you.
Yeah, he was super nice to us on set that day we got to visit.
Yeah, he was. He wasn't angry or mean at all.
No, he was really nice.
All right, let's do our staff picks real quick and some housekeeping, and we'll call it a night. But mine is Jeremy Wade's Dark Waters Animal Planet starts Sunday the 21st. I love Jeremy Wade. I love the what was the
River Monsters.
River Monsters and any kind of fishing show where they don't show the guy waiting 78 hours to catch the fish. But with a show like that show that Jeremy Wade hosted, the fishing show, record it on your DVR because sitting through commercials, there's so many commercials on those Animal Planet
The thing
shows.
That was cool about River Monsters was that, like, he would set out looking for something, and then he would find it.
Yeah,
by the end of the show, he would find what he's looking for.
Yep,
not like finding Bigfoot where
they don't find anything.
They set out looking for Bigfoot and then have 8 seasons of the show and they never find Bigfoot ever.
So you know what this show is about, right? Dark Waters Animal Planet. He's just returning and some more fishing, correct?
I don't know if he's doing fishing or if he's diving or what.
Oh, that'd be cool.
It sounds like it's going to be like a bigger and better River Monsters.
Jeff, your staff pick?
My staff pick is I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Starts on Netflix, also on the 21st.
There's a bunch of SNL people in that.
Right, and Sam from the Detroiters is in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, because I had that petition when Detroiters got canceled.
Yeah, when you got banned from Twitter for a day.
That show's great.
So I feel like this is a win. Because Netflix picked it up, and he can have Sam on whenever he wants. And so it's basically like...
Detroiters,
yeah.
Oh, wait, I got to bring something full circle. Who are the two leads of Detroiters?
It's Tim Robinson and is it Sam Anderson?
Tim Robinson is on our new season of our show.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
We'll try to get Sam for season 5. But yeah, Tim's amazing. His episode of The Characters on Netflix
His Characters is the best one. And he's hilarious, dude. So that's my stat pick for this week.
What's this teen movie?
Oh, this is a book that I just bought. I haven't got it yet, so I can't say for sure, but I've been hearing really good things. It's about all the coming-of-age comedies from when we were kids. It's called Teen Movie Hell, A Crucible of Coming-of-Age Comedies from Animal House to Zapped.
Oh, damn. I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
Zapped. There's only one good scene in Zapped.
Yep. But this guy's been promoting it on Facebook, so I decided to pick it up. One of he had a cartoon that's a page from the book that was from that movie Student Bodies. You remember that movie?
Yeah, I remember.
And the cartoon was, since the accident, Melvert sometimes pee red. You remember that
yep,
character?
Yeah, I do.
So I picked that book up, and I'll have it here in the next week or so, and I can give him a better proper review of it. But
all right,
it looked.
That sounds cool.
That sounded like something that our radios would be into.
I just picked up the Sopranos Sessions, that book. Like I said, I'm a dork about that show.
You still have that Sopranos cookbook, too, don't you?
No, I got rid of that. Oh, no, I do. It's in the closet.
Are you going to have Matt Servito on the show?
Yep.
We are.
Oh, you're going to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that in housekeeping, probably. But next week we're having Dave Willis and
Matt Servito
in the studio, and then we're doing a phone interview with Matt Servito.
You have a staff pick? Anything you'd like to recommend?
Yeah, you want to promote anything you're into right now?
Oh, boy. I'm totally blanking.
That's okay. We'll go to Autumn.
Could read. I don't really have any great staff picks because really I just watched Game of Thrones. And
yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And Barry.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Barry's so fucking great. I was waiting for, I love Game of Thrones, but I was hoping that it would hurry up and end so Barry would start. Have you seen that show?
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen season 2. I've just seen season 1.
Okay, I won't say anything.
Season 2 is only a good 2 episodes old.
It gives me like a TV show boner.
Right.
I'm just like, oh, it's so good.
I was
going to
say Goosebumps.
It's one of those shows that when it goes off, you wish it was longer.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I kept saying, like, we had 2 because we were 2 behind.
Right.
And then when the last one ended, I was like, do you want to watch another one?
Another show that I was late on, but I'm well caught up in love, is What We Do in the Shadows. They've really done a good job of emulating the film and making it their own, actually.
Yeah, I really want to start watching that, too.
Yeah, you should check that out. It's definitely very funny.
I do have some staff picks from our radios, from our Patreon donators.
Oh, cool. Go ahead.
Yeah, Beth Van Alswick, she says, step 1, watch Netflix, Legend of Cocaine Island. Step 2, listen to a podcast called Stuff They Won't...
They Don't Want You to Know.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, in their newest episode on The Legend of Cocaine Island with Theo Love. She says, what a fun romp through a documentary. Characters that will remind you of folks from your own small town or family, and a truly enjoyable storytelling experience. And it says, if you knew where there was $2 million buried, would you go dig it up?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what this thing is. Have you heard of this?
Yeah,
I keep seeing it in my when you turn on Netflix. It's always on the front screen there, but I haven't checked it out. I'm gonna now that Beth recommends it.
Yeah, thanks, Beth.
Caitlin and I were trying to pick something to watch the other night, and it was between that and Black Summer. We chose Black Summer, which I also do not regret because that show just doesn't quit.
Cool.
Very good.
Sean Hall also says that young Mr. Hall. And I started watching Kim's Convenience on Netflix and finds it absolutely hilarious. And per my Korean coworker, the most realistic show about Asians trying to integrate into North America.
Also, we found out that Prime added an extended version of The Blues Brothers. I find it enjoyable to share movies from my youth, and that we also...
His son finds them funny.
He also finds them funny. We both agree that we would go to church more often if James Brown was the reverend.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then Daniel Pitts says, Forever, with Fred Armisen and Maya Rudolph on Amazon.
I keep meaning to check that out. I always forget about Amazon. I'm paying for it. But it seems like... I did watch all of The Tick.
I watched the first episode.
I'm always going to Amazon Prime to watch some horrible kids show, and so I'm like, PTSD when I turn on my Amazon Prime.
There's just so much TV to watch, but, you know, I'm getting back into it. All right, like Jeff said, next week, Dave Willis from Adult Swim and Matt Servito from Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell and a lot of other shows. He was great in Brotherhood, which is a Showtime show about the Providence mob. He's also the FBI agent Harris on The Sopranos. And then
Banshee.
Yes.
He played that cop on Banshee. And he was
in Billions.
He was in Billions, which we got to talk to him a little bit about.
Henry Zebrowski, who's from Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, and the super popular, super successful podcast, Last Podcast on the Left.
We'll be talking to him on May 1st,
or
and
second.
That episode will...
May 1st. Yeah, we'll May 1st. In the studio.
And that episode will drop the day of the premiere of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
Yes. And then coming up on May 8th, we have Mike Hall from Atlanta Pizza and Euro with a special to-be-determined or to-be-named-later guest.
And if you have any questions for these upcoming guests, you can always go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews and donate at one of the tiers there to ask them questions. So go check that out.
Casper Kelly, thank you very much for coming in and helping Jeff with all of our guests, too. This has been a lot of fun.
It's been a blast.
Yeah, and anytime you want to come on, anything you got to promote, you do another great parody of the Twitch universe, I would love to share that. And we will share that on our Facebook and Twitter. Yes.
Oh, and I want to hat tip Nick Gibbons, who was the co-creator of that.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'm so glad you guys liked it.
Have you seen Vinny Bucci Eats a Car yet?
No, I don't know what I don't know what those words are. Oh,
real quick before we wrap up the show, Vinny Bucci was an intern on the Regular Guys show, and he's an interesting character. He's a stand-up comedian and stuff. He decided to eat a car, and they did a documentary, and it's on AdultSwim.com.
Oh, wow!
It's they showed it live on Adult Swim.
I will watch that.
AdultSwim.com, and then you could watch it on the app.
I've seen Werner Herzog eats his shoe, but this is a whole other level.
And they haven't rerun it. I was playing HQ and I tuned in late, so I missed like the first half hour of it. And I told Booch, I'm like, you got to tell me when they put it up so I can watch the beginning, because it was hilarious.
Oh, you know, I don't know if we're still recording, but I'll throw out one recommendation. Yeah, it's older, but if you guys haven't seen it, you probably have seen it, Jeff, is the Joe Parra Show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Joe Parra's show.
That is so funny. We talked to him.
Yeah, oh, you did? Okay.
We had Joe on the podcast, and Joe Parra, Talks to You is the name of the show.
Yeah, he's a Youper. He's in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and he fits right in because he's from Buffalo. But I tried to get him to explain why he likes tomatoes so much. If you follow him on Instagram.
His Instagram is all tomatoes.
All tomatoes.
Yeah.
He goes, I'd rather keep that to myself.
And the co-creator of that, Connor O'Malley.
Yeah, they're
his
like
persona
comedy partners.
Is so angry. Yeah. It's the weirdest yin-yang in comedy that I know of.
Have you ever watched him do stand-up, Joe Parra?
Yes.
Yeah. And just, it's so... not slow in an annoying way, but it's measured and it's paced so well. And you know, if you're sitting there going get to the punchline, that's not going to work. You need to just sit there and let it come, because it will. Casper Kelly, thank you very much, man. And until next week,
remember
to
keep
it
canon.
There.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, man, you want some hot sauce? Radio Labyrinth is sponsored by Often Pepper. It's a Chad Nuga-based business that produces Huff Sauce. Huff Sauce is the brainchild of Aaron Hoffman, a man obsessed with making hot sauces, chili powders, and other chili goods since 2013. Huff's biggest challenge was to create the perfect hot sauce to kick up the flavor of everything from your morning eggs to sandwiches, salads, pizzas, burgers, poultry, fish, etc. Couldn't only be spicy, it had to be pleasant, tangy, flavorful, and fresh, elevating your food instead of covering it up. In fact, you know, the other night I cooked chicken out on the grill, and what did I do? I marinated it in the green Huff sauce. For 15% off, go to huffandpepper.com and use the code RadioLab15. That's Radio LAB 15, all one thingy there, at the checkout. That's Radio Lab 15 at checkout to get 15% off your order. Huff sauce.
What up, what up, what up, what up, radios? Thank you so much for listening to our show. I want to thank everyone who's a Patreon donator. If you are not donating on Patreon, you're missing out, baby, because we have a lot of really cool things over there that you're missing out on. Like casting call. We did a great casting call from Bull Durham this past week with Bernie Sanders and Littlefinger from Game of Thrones. And some actress that Tim knew more than I knew, but I recognized her, but she's in things and you'll recognize her too. So go check that out. That's only for $5. No, that's only for $1 a month. You get a special secret fun thing called casting call. And then also we have our movie club, and the latest one we just did was War Games, which is fucking amazing. War Games. Oh my God. So if you want to go hear us talk about that, that's only at the $10 level. And then you can also get custom illustrations from Tim. He's such an amazing illustrator. It is definitely worth it to go donate at that level. Also, we have an ad space level for $75 a month, which is really cheap considering we do 4 episodes a month or sometimes more. And we would be reading your ad on every single show. So go check it out. Patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Also, I want to thank everybody who's a Patreon donator, starting with Aaron Roberts, Aaron Williams, Adam Kelly, Al McMeekin, Alan Barker, Amber Gilpatrick, Andrew Harbin, Andrew Hopkins, Andrew Mulatsi, Beth Van Elswick, Bill Crumpton, Brennan Price, Brian Jackson, Buck Monterey, Chad Shepard, Chris Cosentino, Chris Knight, Chris Metzler, Chris Weiland, Colin Oman, Dan Carroll, Daniel Pitts, Steve C. Funk, Dean Poole, W. McDonald, Denise Reynolds, Dustin Lawler, Emily Warren, Aaron Malstrom, Garrett Kimball, Gwen Ketchum, Herb Lamb, Ian Stahl, Jason Chappell, Jeff Peterson, Jeremy, Terman, Jessica, John Sutherland, Jonathan Wilson, Keith Tate, Kevin Stokes, Kit Batty, Lauren Coleman, Leslie Haney, Leslie Norman, woo, woo, Luca Niglio, Mark Piero, Mark Weiland, Matt Carter, Mike D, Mike Hall, Mike Spitzer, Nicholas Frank, Robert Calderman, Robert Haley, Ruben Aguilar, Rusty Weinberg, Ryan O'Connor, Samuel, Seth Ingram, Sean Hall, Charity Doherty, Trent, Wayne, Blair, and Wendy Muller. Thank you, everybody. You know I can't do those straight. Give me a break. What is this life about if I'm just going to read names for a minute and a half straight? It's not interesting. So I hope you liked it. Love you guys. Keep it canon.